एवं चिन्तयतो जिष्णुः कृष्णपादसरोरुहम् सौहार्देन तिगादेन संतासीत् विमलामति. Sutta Goswami said, thus being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in the great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and free from all material contaminations. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Since the Lord is absolute, deep meditation upon Him is as good as yogic trance. The Lord is non-different from His name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and specific actions. Arjuna began to think of the Lord's instruction to him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Only those instructions began to eliminate the tinges of material contamination in the mind of Arjuna. The Lord is like the sun. The sun's appearance means immediate dissipation of darkness or ignorance. And the Lord's appearance within the mind of the devotee can at once drive away the miserable material effects. Lord Chaitanya has therefore recommended constant chanting of the name of the Lord for protection from all contamination of the material world. The feeling of separation from the Lord is undoubtedly painful to the devotee, but because it is in connection with the Lord, it has a specific transcendental effect which pacifies the heart. Feelings of separation are also sources of transcendental bliss, and they are never comparable to contaminated material feelings of separation. Translation. Sutta Goswami said, thus being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord which were imparted by the great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and free from all material contamination. Sridhar Maharaj, very nice verse, isn't it? For everyone. This world is a place where reversals will undoubtedly come at any moment. And that is because this material existence has been created by the Lord on the principles of dualities. And wherever there is dualities, there will be conflict. But Krishna consciousness means to see the unity of everything in how it is related to its source, or Krishna. Ishopanishad says, Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Devavashishyate. That the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, is all good, is perfect and complete. And from the all perfect, anything that emanates must also be perfect. And everything emanates from Krishna.
Very well.
Duality. Even the dualities of this material existence, they are all perfect. But we can only experience the bliss of this perfection to the degree we see Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna. And this is actually the only solution to anxieties, frustrations, and sufferings. Because on the physical level, miseries will come. You cannot avoid it. On the mental level, miseries will come. You cannot avoid it. Whether you're working in business, whether you're trying to raise a family, whether you're a politician, whether you're a farmer, whether you're an accountant, whether you're temple president of Juhu.
That's the worst one. I should tell you a story in that regard. They did a survey in New York of all the different occupations that attract stress, because people are concerned about blood pressure and stress. So they did a Wall Street banker, a share broker, you know. Guess who won? Temple president. No, a Jewish rabbi, but.
So you cannot escape. It is not that by coming to Krishna consciousness you escape all the miseries of material existence. But you are trained how to transcend them. And that is by always remembering Krishna. We are reading in this beautiful chapter from Srimad Bhagavatam how Arjuna, he was actually a very great devotee. But somehow or other, because he's living in this material world where there are so many material dualities and so many reversals, he tried so hard to serve the Lord and he failed. At least externally, it appeared like a failure. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he fought against the greatest, most powerful warriors. He defeated Bhishma. And he was able to withstand Drona. He defeated Karna, and ultimately the battle of Kurukshetra was won by Arjuna, by the help of Krishna. And then Krishna, by his sweet will, after seeing that he has fulfilled all the purposes of his incarnation, he returned to the spiritual world. He disappeared like from our vision, as the sun disappears from our vision at sunset. The sun does not disappear. The sun is still existing. Whenever the sun sets in one part of the world, it is simultaneously rising in another part of the world. When Krishna leaves this particular planet, he is appearing again in another universe at every moment. But in that separation, Arjuna was trying to protect the queens of Krishna, and he was overcome by some common men, not even warriors. They are described as infidel cowherd people, and he was defeated by them. He failed to serve his Lord, and he was feeling so sorry, so frustrated, and so much in separation from Krishna. And he came before Maharaj Yudhisthira and he began to reveal his mind. This is the nature of Vaishnavas. They like to reveal their minds to each other. Not that they talk all gossip, but they reveal their hearts of their joys in Krishna consciousness, as well as their needs for help in Krishna consciousness. These are the primary, most important ways that Vaishnavas should always communicate with one another. They should have very open hearts to each other. Arjuna was not a proud person trying to pretend that nothing is wrong. He revealed his heart, seeking help. And just by revealing his heart to Maharaj Yudhisthira in that association, he began to remember Krishna's instructions to him in Bhagavad Gita. And just by remembering those instructions, he became illuminated, enlivened, full of strength and enthusiasm and the joy of living again, living in devotion. So from this story, we understand how if we simply remember everything in relationship to Krishna, and Krishna teaches us in Bhagavad Gita, very, very systematically, how to remember him in every situation of life, in the pleasures and in the pains, in the joys and the sorrows, in the births and the deaths of our loved ones, in the times of health and disease. We can always be making spiritual progress by helping one another to always remember Krishna. And that is actually the purpose of human life. And that is the purpose of society and every branch of society. Culture means when society is set up in such a way that everyone is assisting one another to remember Krishna and thus pass over all the obstacles and difficulties of this world of dualities. And one of the most basic and important means by which we can create this atmosphere is within the family. Family is the basic structure of every society. Because after all, no one is born without a family. To take birth in this world means you're a member of a family. So no one is without a family. So how the family helps one another become Krishna consciousness is one of the most important needs of society. According to the Vedic culture, every stage of life is a sacrifice and offering to the Lord. The beginning of a life within family is conception. And the Vedic literatures teach us that one should perform the Garbhodhan Samskara, which means before even conception, we should be inducing such a spiritual atmosphere between us that we invoke the blessings and the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord to help this dear soul to have the most auspicious possible beginning within this world. And in this age of Kali Yuga, the greatest of all sacrifices is the chanting of the holy names. So there are many rituals for this particular yajna of Garbhodhan, but the great acharyas, Srila Prabhupada was representing all of the great acharyas, he taught us that in this age of Kali Yuga there is no more powerful sacrifice than the congregational chanting of the holy names. So he taught us before conception, the husband and the wife should absorb themselves in the chanting of the holy names throughout the day and hearing the holy scriptures and having their minds completely fixed on prayer to Krishna, that let this action be an offering to you. And then Krishna will send a very, very dear, special soul into this world to help illuminate the world in spiritual consciousness. And then there is the samskara of birth and the cutting of the cord and the samskara of eating the first grains and the beginning of education. And there is a samskara of marriage and there is a samskara of, sannyas, and there's samskara of death. Every stage of life and several in between, there is the invocation of the blessings of God by the chanting of his names and prayers to his lotus feet. And family life is meant to be centered around this principle. Real love is love that is based in knowledge. And what is knowledge? Knowledge means to understand who it is that we love. The spirit soul is the true person who has appeared within the form of our loved ones. To take care of the body is actually only a means of serving the soul of that person. But in society today, we have forgotten the soul and we are simply trying to serve the body. You see, the Prabhupada explained, it is like taking very nice care of a person's automobile and completely neglecting the person in the automobile. What is the use? The automobile is meant to serve the purpose of the person. The automobile of this human form of life is meant to take us on that great journey back home, back to Godhead. But it is not the automobile that will go back to Godhead. The automobile is meant to take the person in back to Godhead, the soul. So to take care of the body, to take care of the mind is all only in pursuit of the welfare of the soul. And the need of the soul is spiritual connection with God. So that family that lives together around this principle is most fortunate, most exemplary, and most holy. And where these principles, these virtues are emphasized, we can understand there is true love. I am very, very happy to be here tonight on this auspicious occasion. And I will explain why it is an auspicious occasion and why I'm so happy to be here, if you give permission for me to do so. When I was just arriving and previous to my coming, I was being introduced to the various family members of this household. The grandfather was a dear friend of Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj. When I first came in, His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj, who was with Prabhupada so much during Prabhupada's wonderful, wonderful pastimes in Bombay, immediately recognized and invited to come to the temple to speak the remembrances of Prabhupada. And how his children are wonderful devotees, pious devotees. One of his grandchildren is going to the Bhaktivedanta school. Other grandchildren are chanting 4 rounds, 16 rounds. Children-in-laws, they are also very, very wonderful, nice, pious devotees of the Lord. In this way, he has inculcated within their hearts the understanding of the need and the importance of associating with holy people. By his association with Srila Prabhupada, it was seen by others. And this creates an image in people's hearts. Oh, this is a very important factor of life, to respect and honor holy men. And there's no greater service that a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent can do for their dependents than just showing submissive respect for a holy man and trying to serve them. And the fruit of such wonderful blessings of such a great soul as Srila Prabhupada is within the family, there is such a desire to love God and to serve God. And to see such family as this simply brings such joy and enlightenment to my heart. I am eternally indebted. Whoever strives in their life to become Krishna conscious, whatever family strives to put Krishna in the center of their hearts, I owe them my life and soul for taking so seriously the mercy of my beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And such families are the actual hope for the rest of the world. When the world sees this, a pure, high-thinking, high-moral, deeply spiritual fiber within people, family, lives, the world will follow. Because this is what everyone is searching for, ultimately. They just have to see examples, and they will accept it. That is all that is truly required. And it is an auspicious occasion, because it is the birthday of Puja. Hari Bol. Everyone give your blessings by saying Hari Bol.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
It is auspicious because you just received everyone's blessings. Whatever occasion, if you receive blessings, it's all auspicious. But actually, this human form of life is meant for Krishna consciousness. It is meant for self-realization. So for one to dedicate this very valuable human birth to devotion to God is the most auspicious thing. So to celebrate, we are actually celebrating that she has dedicated her birth to serving Krishna and to serving all human society and all living beings through her Krishna consciousness. So we are very happy, and we are very much, everyone is very much feeling love and affection for Pooja, for her nice qualities, and for her mother and father and brother and grandparents and uncles and aunties and everyone who are so supportive in her spiritual life. And I would like to thank all of you very much. And my humble prayer is that always keep Krishna in the center of your lives. And in this wonderful year of Srila Prabhupada's centennial, his 100th anniversary, we can offer him the great gift of our sincere dedication to helping others also become Krishna conscious by our words and by our own example. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sridhar Maharaj just happened by the grace of Krishna to appear, to invoke his blessings upon everyone. Just like the monsoon rains are showering, Krishna's blessings shower through such great souls. And we'd like to ask His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj to speak some words. His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj ki.
Deviyon or Sajjano? Is that good enough? Coffee hai? Mujhe bhi khushi hai ki इस अवसर मिला है कि आपके सामने कृष्ण भावनामृत संदेश लेकर आया हूँ. इस कलयुग में बड़ी विषमताएं हैं. सब लोग पीड़ित हैं. अज्ञानता के कारण और हम देखते हैं कि सारे परिवार I can't नाश हो रहे हैं. No, I've seen there's nothing I'd love to do better, believe me. It's one of my goals. Mera ek goal hai ki Hindi sikunga. Lekin I don't even get time to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. All the time I'm chanting paisa, 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 rupiah, rupiah, rupiah. भविष्य में शायद आपसे कुछ हो इस्कान का मैनेजमेंट में आएगा और मैं संन्यास प्रचार करूंगा और सब मैनेजमेंट छोड़ दूंगा. उस समय में हिंदी सीखूंगा. राधानाथ स्वामी और मैं क्या है मसूरी में गए.
मिजरी.
Misery, yes. It was misery studying Hindi, right? Hee-haw. Anyway, whatever language, doesn't matter. I've seen since 1972 when I first came in India, and at that time Giridhar Swami and myself would go preaching, meeting so many friends and well-wishers and life members in Bombay. And we would visit very, very big families like the Birlas, like Mota. Some of you may have known Bridgeratan Mota and his wife Radha Birla. And of course many Podars, including Dr. Podar. But I saw that over time, over a period of time, actually once I went to visit Dharmsi Kathau. So I was visiting him fairly regularly, preaching. So when I went to meet him, this day, before I even sat down, he said, "Swamiji," he said, "I have one question." He said, "In Bombay there are so many kathas going on, but it seems to me that the condition of the people is getting worse and worse." So he was obviously a very shrewd man. And he was right that people were becoming more and more materialistic, even in religion. They were becoming materialistic, not aspiring for surrender to God. Krishna says, "Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja." You surrender, Arjuna. We're all you surrender by your love and devotion, or you'll be forced to surrender. Either you offer your dandabhats voluntarily, or one day Krishna will make you offer your dandabhats by the force of time, a heart attack, or whatever. So either you do it lovingly, voluntarily, or you'll be forced. But people were not agreeing to surrender voluntarily. And I saw, when I first went to Calcutta, actually, it goes back even before 1972, 73, when I came to Bombay, but I first went in Calcutta, and there I went to Bada Bazaar. Here's Mulji Jaita Market, there's Bada Bazaar. And I saw so many very wealthy Marwadi businessmen, and I noticed that they were living very simply. And Garga Muni, whom Prabhupada used to call Garga Money, he told me that these people are very, very wealthy. We would go office to office. At that time, Prabhupada was preaching, and all the aristocratic families of Bombay, Calcutta, Delhi, even Amritsar, wherever Prabhupada would go, they were very, very attracted to Srila Prabhupada because he had done what no one else could even think of doing. He had preached in the Western world and converted Malechas and Yavanas into Vaishnavas. And it wasn't easy. He compared it to washing coal. Like washing coal. Very difficult to clean coal. But he had brought back to India his dancing white elephants, and everyone was very surprised to see. So, while meeting these gentlemen in Calcutta and learning that they were all very aristocratic and wealthy, I noticed that they lived very, very simply. Their office was very simple. They wore simple khadi, dhoti, kurta. Some of them even wore tilak, and even some had kanti, mala. Then we would sometimes go to their house for a program. Very simple, very less furniture, very simple home. Maybe a flat, but two, three, four generations living together. And I remember meeting one particular family. They were a flour mill. It was a flour mill, one of the biggest flour mills in India. I think this was in Indore. I forget the name exactly, but there were six brothers all working together very cooperatively. And that was the reason they were the biggest flour mill in India, because six brothers all dedicated to the older brother. And it was very amazing to see the whole family, very disciplined and simple living and very God conscious in many ways. Maybe not up to the standard of very high sadhu, but to a very good degree, they were practicing many principles. But gradually, when I came to Bombay, I went to one function at Mr. Tirani's house. And at that function, there were a number of ladies from Calcutta there, and there were a number of ladies from Bombay. So I noticed there was a big difference. All the ladies from Calcutta had their sari and even covering the top. And the young hostess, I think Mr. Tirani's daughter, Balkrishna Banani's wife, she informed me when I asked her, you know, what was the difference here. She said, oh, those ladies are from Calcutta. In Bombay, we are more progressive. And of course, the Bombay ladies not only didn't have their sari on their hair, but they, you know, some of them were not even in sari. And I was quite sorry about it. But I saw over time in Bombay, all of the big, big families that I knew break up and break up into fighting. I saw the next generation become totally enamored with fancy cars, big houses, and fancy watches, and this and that. And then I saw that there were more and more labor problems because the workers were envious at being exploited by management for this and that. And I've seen, just in a short period of the 25 years or so that I've been in India, how everything is breaking down, breaking down, breaking down. Prabhupada talked about Pakistan and this other, on the other side, Bangladesh, and this stan and that stan. And he said very soon, this was even before the problems in Punjab, he said very soon they will want Sikhistan, and breaking down, breaking down. So there's only one way that I know of, and even Americans are discovering. There's a great polarization now in America going on between the right wing and the left wing. those who want a strong family life, a moral life, a healthy spiritual life. Okay, they're Christians or whatever, but at least the basic idea they have. And those who want anything goes, do anything, enjoy, exploit, and know God and only sense gratification. And the key is really here in India. I don't know where we're going to get the strength from. I don't know where we're going to get the courage. Well, I know where we can get it from, but it's a question if we want to take it. We have to somewhere or other build an international society, which is a society of preachers. Every one of us has to become an advocate and a preacher. Now, I can't say this to you enough. I say it to groups of our devotees, Indian devotees especially, around the world. Oftentimes they haven't quite caught up the vision of Srila Prabhupada. They haven't quite caught it. The vision of Srila Prabhupada, if you want his mercy, you have to try to see his vision and see through his eyes and his shoes, to follow in his footsteps. He wanted to save the world. He wanted to give everyone a chance to go back to Godhead, and he knew the potency of Lord Chaitanya's mission. So we have to think in terms of preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, in every town and village. It is not that we are meant, and we can do, we can have a little community, very insular, and we can enjoy nice satsang and chanting and just forget about the world. But the fact is, in today's global village, if you don't try to do something about the degrading, decaying material world, that material world will do something about you. You cannot be isolated or insular. You have to change the world or risk being changed. So we have to get strong, and we have to enjoy chanting Hare Krishna. We have to build our family strong, but we also have to think about going beyond to share with others. Because there are many people in the world today who need and want this Krishna consciousness. I was just in Croatia and other parts of Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia, and you heard so many bad stories there. But there's so many wonderful people there. And we have a very, very large congregation, thousands of devotees there in Croatia, who are just thirsting for Krishna consciousness and for association and guidance, etc. There's so much scope for preaching. This is, if we can offer anything to Srila Prabhupada in his centennial year, it's to dedicating our lives to preaching, not only in our own little community, but beyond and beyond. It's in our hands now. Krishna consciousness was there in India before Prabhupada went to the West. But Prabhupada was inspired by Lord Chaitanya's vision and the order of his Guru Maharaj to spread this all over the world. So please, I don't have the strength. I'm born in a Malecha family. I don't have the profile. Even if I stand up, people will know my background. And even in ISKCON sometimes there's a saying, you know, better to take initiation from an Indian guru, because you'll be safe. These Westerners, you never can tell. of course, you can tell, but some people can't. But the fact is, you are all, as Radhana Swami said, You have sanskar there, but for a reason. And if you don't utilize that sanskar, then it will, you know, degrade you. It won't. You'll become an offender. Or certainly you'll be a miserly person, kripana. So in this year, I'm so excited to see in Delhi our congregation is growing, in Bangalore our congregation is growing, in Madras, everywhere. Jayapataka Maharaj is, you know, it's incredible how he travels. I think he's in, you know, he flies into a temple for 2 hours and then flies out. You know, he's incredible, spreading the congregational preaching. And that's the future of ISKCON, but we also need you to step forward and take responsibility so that, you know, we can, the sadhus can preach. And anyway, these are just some things that I've been thinking about. And it's momentous now. It's only 10 days away from the first centennial. It's so auspicious. And Srila Prabhupada, for years in ISKCON, we didn't know where to go after his disappearance. And we even tried to promote little Prabhupads, the new Prabhupads, but it didn't work because he's just so far ahead. He's just in another universe. He's a Vaikuntha man. He descended from Krishna's lotus feet to save us. So we have to keep him in the center, always in the center. And the more, it's very interesting, the more we push Prabhupada up, the more we have to go up. So the way to go up is to push Prabhupada up and push all the Vaishnavas up. And then we also have to go up. So vows and plans, long-range planning, make it a part of our lives to take up the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was indebted basically to his American boys and girls. He used my American boys and girls. Said, I left my family, my children. He had 4 children. And said, I left my family. I thought I would be all alone. He said, but Krishna has sent me so many nice boys and girls, these American boys and girls. And why were they dear to him? Because they were so enthusiastic for preaching his mission all over the world and selling his books. These books of Srila Prabhupada, they are time bombs. They are gold. Anyone who reads Prabhupada's books, his life will be changed. It will... immediately he will become surrendered, or it's just a matter of time. The bomb will explode in his heart and he will be blessed with Krishna's mercy. So distributing Prabhupada's books, and he gave, actually Bhakti Siddhanta gave criteria for an advanced Vaishnava. He said an empowered Vaishnava will be recognized by how many temples he opens, how many books he distributes, and how many new people he brings to Krishna consciousness. So let us focus on these different goals through prasadam distribution, through book distribution, and Harinam Sankirtan. These are the angas of Srila Prabhupada's strategy for preaching. So let us take it beyond the shores of India. We can even do it now in our householder lives. We can make a plan to... this is the roots of the tree. From here, the preaching must go all over the world and join hands with the devotees in America and in Australia and